98th Psalm. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his victory. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the nation. He hath remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness toward all the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy. Yea, sing praises. Sing praises unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the voice of melody, with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. You must forgive me this morning if I am quite unprepared and really just speaking from the heart. But I had something else in my heart quite clearly. But this morning the Lord's given me another matter. And I just want to speak, and I trust that the Lord will help us to make it clear, at least what he's been saying to me. It's all bound up in these first two verses of Psalm 98. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his victory. The first thing I just want to say is that I think those of you who have a Revised Standard Version or some of the new modern versions will see that so often this word translated in our Revised Version or the American Standard Version as salvation is often translated by the word victory. And this brings us immediately to the heart of the matter. Because the Hebrew word has within it this thought of victory. Our salvation is victory. It's as simple as that. Some people seem to think that salvation is one thing and victory is another. That first you get saved and then later on you get victory. But not in the mind of God. Victory is our salvation. Our very salvation within our salvation, inherent within its very meaning, is the victory of God. And that's why you can translate this word either salvation or victory. Or in some of the very modern colloquial versions, you will see that it's translated deliverance. So that we could read, his right hand and his holy arm hath wrought deliverance for him. The Lord hath made known his deliverance. Salvation is deliverance. But to say that salvation is only deliverance, that would be to devalue salvation. Of course, we are wonderfully delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what salvation's done for us. Salvation, The very victory of our God has been to take hold of people who are blind, absolutely blind, immobile, absolutely immobile, and take them, tear them from under the authority and power of Satan and of darkness, of this world which lies in the evil one, and place them in his own Son. To take them out of one sphere and put them in another. To take them out of one authority and put them under another. To take them out of one power and put them into another kingdom. That is deliverance. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Look at us here. What a worthless lot we are. Now, I have no doubt it shows just how far you've gone with the Lord, if you look round and think just that. And of course, most people do. Most of us are like that. We think, yes, they are pretty worthless. I can think of so-and-so, so unreal. I can think of so-and-so, so artificial. I can think of so-and-so, never out of their problems. I can think of so-and-so, who's so self-centered. I can think of so-and-so who never praises the Lord. I can think of so-and-so who's got so much up here but nothing down here. And so we can go on. Oh, yes, we say. We're full of worthless people. But it is a mark of real grace when we begin to see that of all the worthless people, we, ourselves, I, myself, am the most unworthy, the most worthless. Paul was not just play-acting. When in one of his later letters, almost his last, he said, the chief of sinners. I am the chief of sinners. In his earlier letter, he had said, I am the least of all saints. How could the great apostle speak of himself as the least of all saints? When I was first saved, I used to think that was salesman's talk. I used to say, the apostle Paul's a marvelous salesman. I mean, he obviously didn't think really that he was the least of all saints. How could anyone put that, least of all saints? When you think of Ananias and Sapphira, Paul, you're not less than them, less than them. Or you think of some of the others that withstood him at various points in his ministry. Are you less than them? What kind of experience has a man gone through when he genuinely believes that he's less than the others? He must have gone through some painful experiences to have seen himself in such a light that he could say, I'm less than the lot. Some Christians seem to think that the Christian life is meant to be a joy ride, but not for the Apostle Paul. Yes, in one sense it was full of joy, but the other side, and here is the paradox, it was a revelation of himself. You can't esteem someone else better than yourself unless you've seen yourself to be least. How can you? Otherwise, when you esteem someone else, you're hoping that they will esteem you also. It's a kind of, I'm giving for what I'm getting back. And this is the kind of thing that goes on amongst us Christians. We judge everything by the return. What am I getting? What satisfaction am I getting? What glory am I getting? No, the apostle said in one of his earlier letters that he was the least of all saints. But in his almost, I think it's one but last letter, he writes, I am the chief of all sinners. What had happened to the apostle Paul, caught up to the third heaven? Hearing things it was not lawful for a man to utter, revelation after revelation given to him by the Spirit of God, used by the Spirit of God to produce Scripture as we know it now. What kind of experience has the man gone through that at the end of his life he says, I'm the chief of all sinners, and he's not just pretending? When the Apostle Paul came to the end, he not only said, I'm the chief of all sinners, but he also said, I have run the race. I have finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me. How do you put those two things together? Unless it is that the man has seen himself to be so utterly worthless, so utterly little, so utterly insignificant, that the grace of God becomes much more glorious and much more infinite, much greater in his outlook, in his vision. It must be so, surely. He sees that the grace of God has taken hold of him. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things, the Apostle Paul could say. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory in my life. A worthless creature like me, he's got the victory. He saved me. He's taken me out from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. Deliverance. Deliverance. We are delivered. Is it not true, dear child of God, that so many of our problems are just along this line, that though we're saved, we don't know the deliverance that is within our salvation? All kinds of things we take over, complexes, background difficulties, temperamental weaknesses, all kinds of things we take over from our past. And the Holy Spirit's great difficulty is to deliver us, to bring us into that deliverance. Victory. It is, I'm quite sure, the experience of most of us Christians, that having been saved by the grace of God in a very simple way, later on we find we've got to go much deeper. And that we've got to come into a much deeper experience, if you like, of the Lord. But do not let any one of us think that victory is something apart from salvation. Victory is inherent within the salvation of God. It is something which is the very meaning of our salvation. Oh, our so great salvation contains the greatest victory this world has ever seen. Do you know that when the Lord Jesus went to the cross, the whole armory of hell was drawn out in full force? Every single evil spirit was extended to his extent. He was drawn out to the full to destroy this work and this one. But it was the Lord Jesus who beat him. He passes out of sight on the cross. Darkness comes over the face of the earth. The only cry we hear is a convulsive sob that shook the universe. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he passes out into darkness. But he comes back, and he comes back with the foiled usurper's crown. He's got the victory. When the Lord Jesus died, it was in triumph he died. It had been done. The victory had been won. Finished, he cried. And the Apostle Peter says that the Lord Jesus went into hell and caused a commotion there. He went into hell and he preached the gospel. Have you ever heard of such a thing? The victorious Lord, not yet risen from the dead, preaching the gospel to the spirits of those who died in the days of Noah. Hell has never seen anything like that, and I doubt that it will ever see it again. Satan was beaten on his own territory. Here was an everlasting gospel. Here was an eternal gospel, a gospel which had within it the power to deliver any man or woman who put their trust in God through Jesus Christ. Victory. Perhaps God chose Hebrew because of this capacity now and again, putting something into it. I don't know. But here it is. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his victory. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the nations. Think of that. He hath made known his victory. Do you know it? Do you know it? Do I know it? The Lord hath made known his victory. His righteousness he has openly showed in the sight of the nations. Any one of you can know the victory of the Lord, can know the salvation of the Lord. Why, you say to me, I'm a child of God, I've been saved. But do you understand that in your salvation there is victory? Verse 3, the last part, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God, the deliverance of our God. Yes, that's what we're really doing here. We're proclaiming the Lord's death till he come. What does it mean when we gather round this table? Is it just to remember sentimentally that our Savior died? What do we do at the Lord's table? We proclaim his death. We declare his death. It's as if by our very taking of that loaf and breaking it, of that wine and pouring it out, as we eat it, as we drink it, we are enacting something which the whole of the universe understands more clearly than we do. As if all around this room in serried ranks, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of invisible forces watching, watching. Oh, how they hate that table. How they hate what is enacted through that loaf and through that cup. It speaks of something that shook the whole universe, that went right down to hell and right up to heaven, that spoke of reconciliation, not only of unsaved men and women, but of all things created, the restitution of all things. One day, the earth restored, the heavens restored, everything brought back and summed up in Christ. And what cannot be summed up in him, expelled. That is what we declare at the Lord's table. When you took that little piece of bread in your hand, did you know what you were doing? Did you know that you were part of a movement of God that goes back into eternity past and on into eternity to come? And speaks of a victory which he has already won. Till he come, the Lord Jesus is coming again. Oh, what a day when the Lord Jesus comes again, when his feet touch that Mount of Olives, when those feet that once walked on Olivet upon that very soil will again touch it, visit. Walk again upon that earth. Don't spiritualize the coming again of the Lord. God speaks of a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
We are here as a testimony. We are an embassy of heaven. It's as if over the front door the flag of heaven is flying. As if when you come in, it says, you are now in the kingdom of God's Son. Just as if when we come together as the church, here we are, an embassy of heaven. As if we are here to proclaim that this town and everything that's in it really belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, both by creation and by redemption. As if we are saying this nation, these islands, they belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. As if we are saying this whole globe and everything within it, the earth and the fullness thereof, they belong to the Lord, the world and all they that dwell therein. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. May I turn you to Psalm 20 and verse 5. We will triumph in thy victory, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Will you notice that this victory, this salvation is something that has been won? Now, if you think of salvation as victory, you'll see it. It's something done. It's not something that's going to happen. It's something that's done. Your salvation was enacted 2,000 years ago on the cross at Calvary through our and by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, this victory has been won by the right hand and the holy arm of God. Think of that. Now, if that is so, we can say together, I will triumph in thy salvation. I will triumph in thy victory. Who has taken us out of the power of darkness? Delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God has done it through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is our position today? It is in Christ today. I will triumph in thy salvation. What a strange way of putting it when you really think of it. I will triumph in thy victory. Be a very strange thing if a general said before he went to a battle, I will triumph in someone else's victory. But most Christians, they fail to see this. They face all the problems and difficulties as if they've got to fight the battle and win it themselves. They've got to get this victory. But in actual fact, you triumph through another's victory. Then you say to me, how can you do that? Do it. The whole Bible speaks of it. You must set the singers in front. Praise God as if the victory is already there, as it is, and it will be ratified and expressed. Then I can only close with just a few examples. Someone says to me, what is victory? Victory? What is victory? I think that victory, I once asked Brother Sparks quite a few years ago when we were in Scotland, I said to him, what do you really think victory is? And he said, victory is to be in the race at the end. Victory is to be in the race at the end. It doesn't mean that you just have a wonderful time. Some people's idea of victory is that you never have a temptation, you never have a trial, you never have a problem, you never have a difficulty, because the slightest touch of these things, they're gone. Because you've got the victory life. You know, nothing touches you, nothing, no difficulties. And if anyone does have difficulties or problems, that's a sign that something's very wrong. But that is not victory. I'll tell you what victory is. Victory was when Joseph was in Pharaoh's prison for year after year after year and never lost his faith. That is victory. Oh, but you would say, no, the victory was when he came out and sat on Pharaoh's throne. That's the victory. No, the victory was when he was in the prison and there was no throne. And when the word of the Lord tried him, that's what it says in one of the Psalms, the word of the Lord tried him. And when the iron entered into his soul, when there was no hope, not a glimmer of the fulfillment of God's promise, that is victory. Now, maybe there's someone here this morning, it's as if you're in a prison, your circumstances, your particular situation, the word of God to you doesn't seem to be fulfilled. Victory is to remain faithful. Not to worship Pharaoh's gods, but to be absolutely faithful. If you get the victory there, you'll be on the throne before long. Victory is when three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, got thrown into a fiery furnace which slew all the men that threw them in. It had been heated up so many more times than usual. Some people would think that victory was if they'd had the most marvelous deliverance, and as the men were taking them bound down to the furnace, an angel of the Lord had stood there, snapped their bonds, and slew all their captors and set them free. Oh, we would have written a few books on that. Think of such a deliverance. Think of such a victory. But that was not God's victory. God's victory was when they went into the furnace. Now, these men were human beings. They were just like you and me. They were men of like passion. They knew fear. They knew doubt. They knew all the activity of the evil one. How easy it would have been for them to compromise and say, well, look, we'll make a little nod of our head to the great gold statue, just a little nod like that. You understand? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar probably said, yes, that's all I want. I know you don't worship my gods and this statue myself, but if you just nod your head like that, that's all we know. No fiery furnace. And the devil's saying to now, boys, don't be silly. Think of the ministry you will have. A little nod of the head, that's all. I mean, God knows that you don't mean it in the heart. That would have been defeat. Victory was when they said no, not even a nod. Victory was when they said, not law, Nebuchadnezzar, be it known to you that our Lord will deliver us. That wasn't victory. Victory was when they said, Nebuchadnezzar, be it known to you, O king, that our God is able to deliver. But if he does not, we will not bow down. That was victory. Into the fiery furnace they went, and then the angel of the Lord, oh, maybe the Son of God appeared. Four became four. That's victory. Victory was when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, not delivered from it, but when he was thrown in, and by faith, he stopped the mouth of the lion. I used to always picture Daniel in the lion's den, sort of suddenly finding that they were sort of more or less toothless. You know, that they were like big cats, sort of ambling around. I suppose I got it from certain old brothers who used to tell us the story once or twice, and I rather got this impression. But that's not what Hebrew says. It says, by faith, they stopped the mouths of lions. Now, I can only therefore imagine that when Daniel went in, those lions looked at him in a very, very hungry way. But in some way he just lifted up his heart to God and said, Lord, if you want me eaten, okay. But you are perfectly well able to shut up the mouths of these lions and make them big cats. And that's exactly what God did. He made them big cats. And as dear old brother Oliver once said, probably there was Daniel asleep with his head on the
soft belly of one of the lions. Fast that is victory. Not to be delivered from the lions, but to face them. And to find that their mouths are shut. They cannot harm you. That is victory. Victory, what is victory? Victory is when Peter, the apostle, when Peter the apostle was failing, and he said to the Lord Jesus said to him, Peter, Satan hath obtained thee by request, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now that was victory when Peter came through. We need to get our ideas about what this victory is straight. It is to have joy. It is to have peace. It is to have life. But if we will only understand that it is not at the expense of ordinary, normal circumstances, and sometimes quite extraordinary circumstances arranged by the enemy. Therefore, what is victory? Victory is when you've got in your life some problem that you cannot explain, and which no amount of investigation or talk can alleviate. And when you do not lose faith, but rather grow strong in faith, giving glory to God, that is victory. Victory is when you've done something wrong and you can go and confess it. That is victory. Victory is when a person has said something and they can go to another person and withdraw it. That is victory. Victory comes down to the smallest details of our life. It's not to be all the time up there. Sometimes it's to be very much down here. But victory is when we face reality and are peerlessly honest and sincere. Peter was a man who made a lot of mistakes, but he was in the victory of the Lord. So we must finish. We could go through the whole of this book and take example after example after example of victory. Victory, we see it in our Lord Jesus Christ. If it be possible for this cup to pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That is the victory of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 says, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, in Romans 8, it says in this wonderful word, no, in all these things, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And if you look at these things, they are some very, very strange things. Nakedness, peril, martyrdom, hunger, famine. No, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Because no force on earth, in heaven or in hell, can get us out of the position God has placed us in Christ. God has put us in Christ, made us one with Christ, and nothing in heaven, earth, or hell can destroy that relationship. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous thing. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Shall we pray? O Lord, thou knowest every one of us altogether. What a lot Lord, in all our lives there is for us to be ashamed of. How much, Lord, we could register as defeat and failure. But, oh Lord, we pray that every one of us might see that within the salvation which thou hast so wondrously wrought for us, there is victory. And we pray, Lord, that we may come to know what this victory is in reality, in our own circumstances, in our own life, each one of us. And as a people together, we might come to know what it really is to be led always in the train of his triumph. Oh, Father, may we know that. May we know not only what it is to be a conqueror, but more than conquerors. May we know what it is to sing unto the Lord a new song, even when victory seems a long way away. To sing unto the Lord a new song, to give to him the glory, to recognize the marvelous things which he has done, to declare that his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory already. Therefore, Lord, write this word upon our hearts, and grant, Lord, that we may forget the poverty with which it was spoken, and may hear only the tone of thy voice. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus.